So funny story. Obviously, Ryan was speaking this morning, and we said, right, okay, we're not going to tell each other what we're speaking about because we didn't want that to like influence one another in any way. We're like, no, like just you speak what God's telling you to speak, and I'll speak what God's telling me to speak. So Ryan stood up this morning and started speaking. I was like, haha, God, you are funny. Because what Ryan was sharing this morning is basically similar to what God's given me, but he's sort of given us different illustrations to put that across. So there's links, but it's different at the same time. My message is titled, oh, Yuke's got it up on the screen, thank you. How is your central heating system? Okay. Now, I know nothing about central heating, but just bear with me while I explain why that's come to my head. I work in Fraserburgh, so Monday to Friday, I'm driving to Fraserburgh every day in my car, sometimes half asleep. And over the last few weeks, it's been these vans have been always there, right? Now, I know it's not me noticing them. I know that it was God pointing me to them because I have got no interest in vehicles at all. Like, a red car to me is a red car. I don't know the type of the car. A bus is a bus to me. You're lucky if I know it's a Stagecoach bus or a First bus or whatever. Vehicles do not interest me whatsoever. But there's these white vans. There's going to be people in the room that just know what I'm talking about as soon as I say the word. They have got Everwarm written across the sides of them, yeah? So there's some people nodding their heads. Yeah, Gareth up the back there. Now, I had no idea what this company was. I kept seeing these vans, Everwarm vans, driving about, and I was like, what is that? Like, I don't know the company. I just keep seeing them everywhere, and they were starting to bug me, if I was being honest. I was just like, can you get out my way? Like, you're in my way, I'm trying to get to work. But then I stopped myself because I was thinking, actually, Leah, God is this you? So I sort of just said to God, like, okay, if you're trying to tell me something, just make it known to me. Like, if you want me to look more into this, like, make it known. On the Sunday, Stuart said, Leah, you're preaching, like, next week. So I thought, right, okay, that's what it's on. I know that that's the message, but I needed to work out what it was. So Googled Everwarm, and it's some kind of company, like a heating company. They sort like central heating, and they're to do with house refurbishments and things. So on their website, it says that they do two things. Number one, they improve heating and insulation. Number two, they also do whole house refurbishments, bringing houses up to standard. So I was like, okay, cool. That's me learning something. I didn't know what this company was about. It was the word that stood out to me, though, because when I first saw Everwarm, the word that kind of dropped into my heart was lukewarm. Forever being lukewarm. Yeah? That's what came to my heart when I saw it. And I thought, oh, forever being lukewarm sounds like horrible. I just kind of got like a feeling of sickness in my stomach, like, that doesn't like seem quite right. So turn to God's word to see what he said about it. So the passage is from Revelation 3:16. And that's my bookmark just dropped out. It's a good job I know where Revelation is, right at the back. 3:16. So this is where God's speaking to the church in Laodicea. I think that's how you pronounce it. Somebody's going to correct me if I'm wrong, but I Googled it and that's what it said. I suppose it depends if you're American or British, the way you'd pronounce that, but Laodicea is what I'm going to go for. So God's speaking to the church of Laodicea here, and he says in Revelation 3:16, so because you are lukewarm neither hot nor cold. I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Ugh. So when I read that, I was like, okay, that makes sense why I kind of felt sick when I thought of the feeling of lukewarm and how that's forever being lukewarm is like a nasty thing. God's saying that he'll spit you out of your mouth, spit you out of his mouth if we are in that lukewarm state. That was the NIV version that I just read, but I looked at other versions just to see what they said. The New King James Version, instead of using the word spit, that says vomit. I will vomit you out of my mouth. And you just think, like, wow, is God, like, so sick in his stomach at that thought of us being lukewarm that he's physically, like, retching, he's physically, like, I am going to spew you out of my mouth. And that's kind of gross to think about, but that's what God's saying in that verse, like, 100%. Message version, I know you inside out. And I find little to my liking. You're stagnant and stale. So you think of like stale, moldy bread. And something that's stagnant doesn't exactly move very well, does it? It's just in the same place, not going anywhere, sort of giving up. I promise it gets better. You're probably sitting thinking, well, Leah, that's quite horrible. You're just telling me that God's going to be sick because of me. But just bear with me because it does get better. I'm going to talk about connect now because when thinking of that verse and being lukewarm, I immediately thought about me and my tea. Uke's going to like nod his head here because I think he cracks up at me. He'll like go to the kitchen and make me like a nice cup of tea at Connect, and we're just about to start the study, and then my tea just sits there, and it sits there, and it sits there, and I get so engrossed in what we're doing, and we're like, oh, like question number one, question number two. We get to the end of the study, and we're about to pray, and I'm looking at my tea, and I'm like, forgot to drink it. Like, it's just sitting there. It goes lukewarm. And then it just turns 100% cold. And then I just don't drink it because who actually likes lukewarm tea? If you do, yeah, see, gee, I knew you'd put your hand up. That's just weird. Nobody likes lukewarm tea. Like, no, it's enough to make you just want to spit it out if tea's lukewarm. Same with soup and stuff like that. Like, if something's lukewarm, I'm like, no. I can't drink that. I can't eat it. It's kind of past it's past its time. And I was just thinking about that connect. I'm like, oh, Uke's going to just crack up with me if I keep doing this, if I keep leaving that cup of tea. And I just thought, how simple would it be for me to just stand up, take the tea, and put it in the microwave to heat it back up again? Like, I could do that. I think you've got a microwave, don't you? Yeah. I could do that, but I just can't be bothered. Like, I'm sitting in my bean bag that Ewan and Jill provides for me very kindly. And I'm just like, I can't be bothered moving. Like, I'm totally fine here. I'm going to just leave it to go cold because can't be bothered. But I could simply just put it in the microwave and it would be hot again. It'd be piping hot again and then I could drink it. And when I thought about that, I'm like, oh, that's so obvious. Like, spiritually, we can get into that, like, can't be bothered attitude, like, sitting back in the beanbag, like, oh, that'll do. Like, it's fine, it's gone a bit lukewarm, and oh, look, it's going cold. Your faith I'm speaking about. And it's fine, I'm comfortable here. Like, it's totally fine. When really all you need to do is take yourself to the microwave, which is Jesus, in this situation, just in case anybody's confused. You just position yourself in the microwave. You position yourself in the source of heat and you're piping hot again. I'm like, it's actually that simple, Jesus. Like, that's amazing. A cup of tea in a microwave and that's it sorted. That's the message. But wow. But But in a practical sense, it's quite easy to sit back. And spiritually, it's the same. It's so easy just to sit back sometimes and think, you know, lukewarm's not too bad. Lukewarm's fine. I'll turn up to church. Great. I'll hear the message. Great. But on Monday, I'll just go back and do whatever I want. I've been in that situation. I'm not pointing fingers at all. I looked up signs of being lukewarm, because there's maybe people sitting like here today thinking, well, that's not me. Like, I'm fine. Like, I'm in that microwave. I'm totally okay. You could be. You could be totally fine. But then there'll be other people that's maybe not. Maybe they are lukewarm. Maybe you've just turned completely cold. So I looked up the signs that we maybe are lukewarm Christians, and I've been in this situation many times. So again, not pointing fingers at all. Some of the signs could be that Sundays are for church sort of attitude. Like that's maybe the only time that we would turn to God. We might start caring too much about like the church traditions more than God himself. Like more like the materialistic things like, oh, Stuart, you've nae remembered to do this. Or Stuart, like you said you were going to do this and you've not done it. And Stuart's actually thinking, well, actually, I was just listening to God the whole time. Oh, Stuart, what about like the layout of the place? Like, oh, that's not how we have it. These are kind of like traditional things that we can maybe get stuck in. And rather than listening to what God's got to say, we can get too caught up in, oh, what am I comfortable with? Oh, that's nae right. That chair's nae in the right place. I usually sit there. You get out of my seat right now. And hey, again, I've been in that situation. I used to always sit over here, and that was my seat. And I realized, I'm like getting caught up in the tradition. So I moved myself and was like, no, I'm going to sit over this side. And it's simple things like that. It's like, wow, like you can get caught up in it without realizing it. Another sign that we could be slipping in that lukewarm stage is we're like relying on things and people rather than God himself. So it could be, well, kind of what Stuart was speaking about, like idolizing things and not realizing that we're idolizing things. Because it can be bad things, it can be good things. You know, it can be relationships and we're putting that relationship before God. It could be hobbies, whether good or bad. We can get into that trap sometimes of thinking, ah, God's second place. Last sign is if we're actually like comfortable engaging in activities that we know wouldn't please God at all. But in the moment, we're not even thinking about God, so it doesn't bother us too much. And hey, like, as I said, I'm not pointing any fingers because, like, this message is spoken completely to me and it's so relatable to me because I was in that place, a few years ago, really. And I recognised that I was in that lukewarm place and God definitely told me, whoa, Leah, like, you are not in the right place right now. You are lukewarm. We've got to get that sorted. And I didn't even realise it because I was so comfortable in that place that I was in that didn't even realise that I was lukewarm. Because the enemy's great at doing that. The enemy's great at sort of blinding you to that and thinking, oh, you're just fine sitting in that beanbag. You don't need to move one bit. You're totally fine. And the enemy totally did blind me from all of that. But God is good, and God like broke through and totally spoke to me through his word. And that's just part of my testimony. If you've not heard it before, he totally showed me the areas in my life that was not living up to his standards. And from that day onwards, when I like repented again, that completely changed. I came out of that lukewarm state, and I was on fire for God again. So, number one, what I wanted to share, relating to this ever warm company that we were talking about, can anybody remember the two things that I said that the ever warm company does? It's okay if you can't remember because that was like ages ago. Chris? Awesome, look at that. People are listening to me. That's so good. Not like my class, honestly. awesome. So number one was improving like the heating and insulation. So that's what I've got here. God wants to improve our central heating system and insulation, just like that ever warm company. But let's say that company comes to your door. You're like, ah, my heating's broken. Like, can you come round, please? They're knocking on that door. Like, I'm here to fix your heating. What have you got to do, first of all? You've got, yeah, exactly. You've got to open the door to let them in to fix your heating. So that's what God was saying through that, is that if we want God to come in to fix our central heating system, to fix our lukewarm state or our cold state, whatever state we're in, if we want him to come in to fix that, we've got to open the door of our life, open the door of our heart, just like we would do in a physical sense. So that image really helps me, just thinking of that open door, because God can't do anything with a closed door. If you're putting up that barrier, he's knocking and you're just not opening it to let him in. The good news is that obviously God doesn't want us to stay in that lukewarm state. Like, you might get into that mindset of thinking, oh, well, it's fine. Like, God doesn't mind. Like, he doesn't want me that much anyway. The enemy can start, like, telling us those lies. But God doesn't want any of us to be in that lukewarm state. Any of us. Like, that is his word. He, like us with the tea, nobody wants the lukewarm tea. He doesn't want us in that state, so he's going to intervene no matter what. He wants to intervene. There's this verse, those that I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. So that's just backing up what I said about opening that door. He gives us that freedom to open the door as well, just like what Stuart's going on to talk about, really. He gives us that freedom to open it. He doesn't force us to come to that door. He's given us that freedom, and I find that pretty amazing. We don't need to ask for that freedom. He just gives us that freedom. So I'm just really, really thankful for that he doesn't have to like physically drag me to that door. He's just like, Leah, I give you the freedom to do it. Like, it's over to you, just do it. Number two, Chris said, like a whole house refurbishment, yeah. So God also wants to provide a whole house refurbishment, just like he wants to improve the central heating system. I feel like we just keep speaking about houses right now. It's literally because we've got a house, right? But when we went to view houses, honestly, some of the places that we went to view, we went with an open mind because we thought we're going to just do a place up. So we went to places that were like just about standing. Like, I'm not joking. Like, I think some people looked at us as though we weren't quite sane because they were like, why are you actually coming to view this property? Even though it was them trying to sell it, they were actually like putting you off of it. And you're like, aren't you supposed to be convincing us to buy the place? And we went to see one not far from here. And you know what? It had such great potential. And I was like totally for it. And Ryan's like, Leah, like, no, did you hear what he said? You've got to knock the whole place down and start again. And I'm like, oh, but the view, like the view is so nice. Do you see like there's sheep over there? And like, it could work. And Ryan's like, no, like the foundation isn't even there, like it was sloped, there's water running, it was not safe to even build on. So I didn't go off with that one. So there's sometimes like houses, the whole place needs to be knocked down. Like the central heating system was the last thing on our minds. That place didn't have walls, let alone a central heating system. I'm not joking. I didn't even look for heaters. There was just holes in the roof. You had to duck. There was walls missing. Not great at all. And when we went to see these kind of places, I thought, it's such a shame because they used to be great. Like, they used to be beautiful houses. You can see that. You can see that the people in them used to love them so much. And, like, there's almost tears in their eyes because, like, this has sort of happened to the house without them realizing that it's happened. It's happened over time. And this guy that was trying to sell this house, he had tears in his eyes. And I thought, what a shame, this poor guy. Like, everything was going wrong for him. I think the previous owners had lied to him. And there was, like, water coming in, and just the whole foundations was just falling down. But he loved this house, and it once was a great place to stay, like, for him and his family. Thinking from a spiritual perspective, when we leave our house and not keeping on top of it, we also start to crumble, just like physical houses do. Like, when we're not keeping on top of it, it's just a gradual decline. You can just see it before your eyes, just turn into nothing, and then you're left with this, like, crumbly state in front of you. And that's kind of like our lives as well. You get into that lukewarm state sometimes, and you just leave it. You leave it there, and you don't do anything to it. You don't keep up with the uptake of it. Just like a house would need painting or decorating or a new set of curtains, or you need to fix a wall, or the heating needs fixed. You just sort of leave it there. And like our lives, if you leave it, if you're not reading God's word, if you're not actually, like, pushing in to what God's wanting you to do, and you're just sitting on your beanbag, then you do just start to slip away, just like a house, a physical house, would. And I thought, actually, like, as Christians, we need a shake-up now and again. We need, like, a wee bit of, like, a wake-up call now and again, because just like that house used to be great, how that guy fell in love with that house, which he and his family bought, just like that house used to be a great place, we sometimes think that about our lives, like, oh, I once was on fire for God. I used to be in a really good place. Like, it was great. I was on fire for God when that first moment that I was saved. Like, oh, I remember thinking, oh, like, God, you're really great, and this, my life's going to change. And then now, looking back, you're like, oh, I'm just lukewarm now. Like, God's not done much recently. I just felt God saying, like, we need just a whole shake-up. We need, like, a whole house refurbishment here. Like, remember the joy of your salvation. That's found in Psalm 51, verse 12, if you want to note that down. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and grant me a willing spirit. Sometimes our spirit's not very willing when we're in that beanbag, just sort of like, oh, it's fine. I'm comfortable. Our spirit's not very willing to keep going, to press on. And I hold my hands up. There's sometimes that I'm just not very willing. I can be quite stubborn. Like, God, not today. Like, not in the mood today. Like, really don't want to do it. And he's like, no, you've got to keep going, Leah. You've got to press in constantly. And then you've got to pray for that willing spirit to keep going. When I first became a Christian, I just thought, like, that was it. That was a mistake. I just sort of, like, thought, okay, God's forgiven me. I've made a commitment. Yay. That's it. And then I thought, like, the rest of life would just be great. But we've got to get into that lifestyle of continual confession and continual repentance. Yeah. So that just basically means like just always coming to God all the time and just saying you're sorry for the things that you've done, asking for his forgiveness constantly. Because as Ryan was saying this morning, I think this was a verse you used from Lamentations 3:22, his mercies are new every morning. He's a God not of just second chances. He's a God of third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, continual chances. And when he gives us that, like if he's saying that, why don't we come to him all the time and actually just ask for forgiveness when he's saying, I'm going to give you like heaps of chances anyway. But sometimes we just sit back and think, oh, it's fine. And we get into that lukewarm state and we just need that immediate shake-up of like, no, like get into that lifestyle of asking for forgiveness all the time because he's forgiven you anyway for it. Before you've even asked for it, he's forgiven you. He knew it before you sinned in the first place. He knew you were going to do it. And he's just like, come to me, ask for forgiveness, actually stay close to me rather than sitting in that beanbag. Get to the microwave right now. It is easier said than done. I'm sitting here thinking it sounds so simple, but sometimes life just isn't that simple. Another verse just to write down, just to help with that, is Revelation 2, verse 4. And it's speaking to a church again, just saying to go back to your first love. So again, just remembering that joy of your salvation. Go back to that beginning. Remember who God is. Remember what God's done for you. When we're in a bit of a muddle, when we're in that lukewarm state, just go back and remember how much he has done for you. I'm just looking at the time. I'm okay. This is just the last bit. Thinking about maybe people in the Bible who are on fire for God, I'll say. Because we've talked about being in that lukewarm state and how obviously God doesn't want us to be in that lukewarm state. We've talked about that. We understand that. So when we turn to the Bible, it's like, okay, God, well, give me examples of what I'm supposed to be like. Like, what are you wanting to see in me? I think Paul's quite a good example of that because obviously he was Saul beforehand. He was totally against God. He hated God. Like God's worst enemy. That's who Saul was. And as soon as he was converted, as soon as he was saved, he was immediately for God and on fire for God. He never looked back. That's what I just love about him. It was just an immediate, like, I'm on fire for God. I don't care what people say. I am not going back to my old ways. I am not becoming lukewarm. I'm on fire for God, and that's it. He was just dedicated to that. Despite challenges that he came across, it wasn't easy. There was obviously always challenges, but he just made that commitment and just chose to be on fire for God. He had that passion, that zeal inside of him, and he kept going. He just shone that light that was inside of him. And because of that, he spread the gospel to most of the Roman Empire. Like, literally so many people came to Jesus just because of him doing that, just because he was on fire for God. Like, as simple as that. But imagine if he was in that lukewarm state. Like, what would have happened if he chose to be in that lukewarm state? Like, other people wouldn't have been saved. He would have given up a long time ago. But he made that commitment from the start and just kept going, and he stayed close to God. He was dedicated to what he was called to do. Lots of people were saved because of that. He just let the Holy Spirit work through him. It's simple as that. In Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light shine before men. And in Ecclesiastes 9:10, it says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. It doesn't say, do it with half of your might. Or whatever your hands find to do, do it with like a quarter of your might. It says, all of your might. So like 100% effort. So that's not lukewarm. That's like on fire. Yeah. Fire is so, so important. Because if you think of a campfire, if that goes out, you can't see very well. I mean, I'm not one for camping, I'm going to be honest. Like, I think I camped once in my life for a week, and by the seventh day, I was freaking out because there was a moth in my tent. And then I left. I went home after that. But I survived for a week. But I could not do camping if I didn't have fire, if there wasn't that light. Because at nighttime, it's just pitch black, and you can't see where you're going. You're, like, trying to dodge stuff on the ground. You've no idea. You need that light to see. And one piece of, like, if you're thinking about the fire in a house, one piece of coal isn't great on its own, because then it just loses the fire. So if that's just sitting on its own, it will just eventually go out. It needs other pieces of coal around it to keep that fire burning. So thinking from a church perspective, like, we kind of do need to work together. I know, like, I've heard people say before, people really close to me say to me, oh, well, Leah, like, I don't need to go to church because, like, I believe in Jesus and that's enough. And I think, right, okay, that's kind of right, as in, like, yeah, you're saved. If you believe in Jesus, that's great. Like, that's great for anybody. But not going to church, you're just basically waiting for your fire to go out. If you're just wanting to sit at home on your beanbag on your own, like, just waiting for you to lose that fire. So I wanted to sort of share that from a church perspective there. We need each other to keep that fire burning. It's great being an individual, and of course we need that relationship with God and being totally on fire for God, but we need each other's help all the time, because one person will slip and somebody else helps that person up, and vice versa. I know that I'm grateful for people in this church for helping me through tough times and just pointing me in the right direction. And if I wasn't planted in this church, if I just decided to stay at home on my beanbag, probably would be in that lukewarm state again. But it's because of that, the coals working together, we're keeping that fire burning. We're helping each other through that. Just like Paul, if he didn't have that fire burning within him, there's no way that he can then pass that on to somebody else. So if we're not planted in church, if we're not working together and helping each other burn and be on fire for God, we can't then go out and expect to set other people on fire. Not literally, but get what I'm saying. I think, if you got like an image of the flames, I just wanted to sort of end there. Oh, it's slightly off the screen. Okay, so like if you imagine here. Oh, you're moving it. Yeah, okay. I use this image in my class, but for different reasons. We imagine like the first flame is us. Yeah, so like we're staying close to God. We're on fire for God. And it's only if we're on fire for God that we can then like pass that on to other people. Yeah. So if we're not in that state, so like if we've not got that fire, then we're just all sitting there on beanbags doing nothing. Like, how boring is that? Like, we don't want to be in that lukewarm state. I don't want to be. As soon as God pointed that out to me, I was like, whoa, like, do not want to go there again, because that is so boring. God cannot use that at all. It's just a waste of time, like lukewarm tea. Lukewarm tea is a waste of time. You just want to put it down the drain. So I want to sort of leave that image as a reminder of just being on fire for God, not lukewarm, because if we're lukewarm, that flame wouldn't be lit. It would maybe be half lit, and then it would just go out, and that's useless too. So remembering this image, remembering, okay, where am I? Do I need my central heating fixed? Do I need a whole house refurbishment? Do I need a bit of both? Do I need to help somebody else? Maybe you know somebody that's like in that state and they maybe need your help. Whatever situation you're in, know that God wants us all on fire for him. It's not different for individual people. He's not like, oh, Tony, I want you on fire for me, but Martha, no, you're not. I just want you to be lukewarm. God's not like that. He wants us all on fire for him. No matter the situation that you're in now, that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you're at now. He, with God's intervention, he can fix that. He can make us all on fire for him. Awesome. Can you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for this message. Thank you for this reminder, Lord, that it's not just for the people here, Lord, it's for me as well. Thank you that this is just for us all, and that we've all been in this place, whether that's now or whether that was like years ago or whether that's going to be the future, Father. We pray against the enemy trying to keep us in that state. And we pray, Lord, leaning on you completely, knowing that you want us to be on fire for you. You want to pull us off of that beanbag, Father, and you want us to just be shining your light. You want us to be on fire with your Holy Spirit, Father. I pray for your help in this, Lord. And I pray for every single person in this room, Lord, if they are in that state, Lord, I pray that we would just be honest with each other. That we wouldn't have to hide any of this, God, because we're all human and we've all been in situations like it. So I pray that we would just help and support each other, Father, and that this church would just be a church that's completely on fire for you, Lord, and that we would be individuals on fire for you, Father. Father, I pray for just great conversations as we just join together in fellowship, just eating and chatting about you, Lord, but may our conversations actually be about you, Lord, and may we help each other through those conversations. May they not be half-hearted and just like laid-back conversations. Use this time, Father, to help us and speak to us for the rest of the day, Lord Jesus. I just ask this all in your precious name. We pray. Amen.